Welcome back to your Valley Sports Plugs Heat Check Podcast, episode 38. We're recording this on Saturday, April 12th, 2025. I am your host, Chris Patrick, joined today by my amazing co-hosts. Let's go ahead and introduce them. We have Zach Gallen's pitching coach, VSP Tallman.
Hey, yo, what's up?
What are you going to do to help him improve his performance? He had a good outing against the Yankees.
Yeah, we were really good in New York, but we've been getting too drunk, man. Zach is just
too much milk.
Too much milk.
What's
for
next?
Zach.
Cramps.
Cramps. Golly, yeah. Poor guy.
Spending too much time with Merrill Kelly.
He needs. He needs to hire a new coach. Let's just say that.
So, is this your resignation?
It is. Yes.
Okay.
I officially resign from the position of Zach Gallen's pitching coach.
That's probably fair. Smart.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, we have our second co-host here who might also need to resign from his position. Uh-oh. We're good. Ja Morant's celebration coordinator, Michael Benjamin.
Fire in the hole!
Now, Mike, were you part of the PR team that gave him the elaborate explanation that he was just throwing his words out there and then covering his ears so he was tuning out the noise?
Absolutely. We cover all bases here.
So it wasn't Ja Morant. It wasn't a grenade. He was just throwing his words out there.
He's just throwing his words
out. At least you got
there.
Rid of the guns. That's
pew pews.
That's good.
Oh, but
yeah.
I love the pew pews.
Did you see him jogging down the court with the rifle?
Jesus, this guy.
Wow.
You gotta love it before you start to cry.
I mean, if he didn't get caught on that live stream or whatever, the video with him having the gun,
yeah.
Do you think they make that big of a deal about it?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah. All sorts of players do finger guns.
Exactly. And it's just because it's him.
But Ja Morant out there finger banging all of us, man. I don't like it.
He could finger bang me.
He could.
All right, guys, I gotta get something out here to start first and foremost. If you are a part of Valley Sports Plug and what we do here at the Heat Check Podcast, all of you probably know that there is an infamous wide receiver bet that took place with the 2024 Arizona Cardinals.
Let them know.
Where Michael Wilson absolutely jackhammered Zay Jones in total receptions, total yards, whatever you want to throw out
there. Zay Jones was suspended for five games.
Cleared number two receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, and it was a jersey bet. And Tallman finally ponied up. And it just worked out that Marvin Harrison Jr.'s jerseys became available, and he got it for me. And I made sure to say, bring it today, because I'm wearing it on the April Heat Check podcast. I texted him before he came to Studio B.
Yep.
And what do you know? There is no Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey.
I forgot it. It does exist. I swear to God.
It's unbelievable. So
it's a real thing. I did forget it.
But Tallman, don't worry. Since you forgot your gift to me, I brought you a gift. It's a headless Bradley Beal.
Was that the one you found on the fucking street last?
Dude, you know what's even crazier? So we did.
Is he holding paintbrushes?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Why?
VSP, pretty much the whole crew went out to the Diamondbacks drubbing.
Why is he holding
7-0 loss?
Don't think about it.
Which was the same night as the last Suns game of the season, where they were infamously giving out fan appreciation Bradley Beal bobbleheads. You know what's funny? I found out. Normally they give them out at the beginning of the games. They gave out vouchers before the game and said
to pick them up at the
after
end.
The buzzer. Go to the concourse and pick up your Bradley Beal jersey. So you literally had to stay the entire game.
Well, at least the game ended in a dub, and Brad Beal had. It's funny that Brad Beal.
There you go. Yeah,
it's funny that he waited until the last couple games of the season to actually start playing well. I think he's had a couple 20-plus point games.
But wait, the paintbrushes, I don't get that.
Well, there was like it broke off, but there was like a little canvas.
There's
a fries canvas. He was painting. Headless Bradley Beal is hilarious. So we literally found that on the ground by the streetlight on our way to the garage.
It lets you know how Phoenix Suns fans really feel about Bradley Beal.
We couldn't find his head, too.
Yeah.
We
looked for it, too.
We were saying all of our homies hate him. It's not just our homies.
Well, yeah. No, that's true. Well, all of our homies are, you know, Valley Sports Plug fans and friends in the Valley. So, you know, everyone's, you know, all-encompassing as being our homies, especially people on r/Suns Reddit. You know, we really love those guys. but I do want to get into the Brad Beal conversation. We got a lot to talk about with the Suns season being over. We're just going to do some reactions to that. This Tuesday on Pass the Outlet, we're going to do a more in-depth breakdown. I guess depending on when this comes out, this will probably come out after Pass the Outlet. So make sure you go back. Every single live stream we do on our YouTube page, Valley Sports Plug, is available for playback immediately. So if you can't catch us live at 7 p.m. every Tuesday on YouTube, you can go back and check it out. You can also find us on every single podcast streaming platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. Make sure you're following us at AZ_VSP so that you can stay up to date on everything that's going on. And at AZ_VSP is pretty much all social medias. That's X, Instagram, TikTok, you know, the big ones. You know, well, guys, like I mentioned, we're going to talk about the Suns. Cardinals, Patrick Peterson is going to retire as an Arizona Cardinal.
Let's go.
Going to make the trip to Glendale this week. The NFL draft is upon us. And on Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025, we're going to be doing our NFL draft preview. Unfortunately, VSP Tallman will not be in attendance.
I'm so sorry, guys.
He will be backpacking through Europe,
drinking
wine, eating pasta.
I will be in Amsterdam, so unfortunately,
he'll be in the red light district in Amsterdam. Yeah. He said he really wanted to go there.
RLD.
Relax, I'm going with my wife. Come on.
That doesn't mean nothing. Anyway, with time permitting, we'll probably talk about some D-backs news. Ketel Marte is out for several weeks with an injury. He's on the 10-day IL, but Timmy Tawa has been called up. Former Oregon high school football legend. I guess you aren't really a former legend. You're just always a legend, right?
Yeah. Gatorade Player of the Year.
Three times
in a row.
But yeah, he chose to play. Probably smart. I was telling Tallman, it's probably smart for him to pick baseball. Less CTE that way.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, Jake McCarthy was a great football player, running back, and then I forgot someone else on the team also. So
I mean, athletes are athletes, man. It's not uncommon for, especially in high school, for them to play all three major sports: football, basketball, baseball. So props to him, props to them. But yeah, let's just go ahead and dive right into it. We might be a little short on time. This might be a little bit of a shorter pod than usual, but we're glad to have you here nonetheless. So let's start at the top with the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm glad that we kind of kicked off the Bradley Beal conversation earlier, because I've done a little bit of reflecting, and I want to see what you guys think.
I'm just astonished that Mike, you kept that from last night.
Absolutely.
Just to bring it today. Broken ass bobblehead.
It basically...
amazing.
It goes in the... It's like infamous. Basically like the Cliff Kingsbury
it makes
sign.
A lot of sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's
true.
Just those specific moments of absolute atrocities that you'll remember, and you have to keep it.
It's going
to
live there forever.
I was going to say it's going to live there.
It might just live right there. We might not even touch it from the position that it just sits in.
Yeah, Bradley Beal.
And it's going to be like an inside joke. So if we gain some new, we did gain some new subscribers. So if you're joining us, thank you. That Phoenix Suns ticket giveaway was an absolute success. The winner had a great time. Her and her friend went to the game. I think it was a loss, but they still had fun. Looked like it went to a good diehard Suns fan.
What do you mean it was a loss? It was a
drubbing.
Ass
steamrolling.
Ass stomping. Oh, my God.
Lost by 30.
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Sorry, but she was appreciative, and that's what it's about.
Maybe we got to do a D-backs ticket giveaway.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
What? All right. D-backs Doyers game, maybe?
Ooh.
No, because
that'd be Doyer. That'd be good.
No, because Chris just wants to go to that game.
Our luck, a Dodgers fan will enter the giveaway, win it, and then our tickets to the game in Dodgers gear.
That's fine. Yeah. That's okay.
I guess it's fine. Fair is fair.
There's no problem with
fair
that.
Fair is fair. No,
support your team. Be a fan.
But
okay.
Anyway, let's lock in. Bradley Beal, right? So he's recently, I think he said in a post game or some type of press conference he was giving, that he hopes to return to the Suns next season. Expressed, obviously, a lot of disappointment with his own health and the way the team performed. He felt like they had good chemistry. I'm assuming he's meaning him, Booker, Durant, all had good chemistry. So he wants to come back. But it's really hard to imagine that they'll be keeping all three of these guys. There's a lot of conversations about you can't really waive and stretch Bradley Beal because the money doesn't quite work, so you'd have to have him agree to a buyout. I said I'm reflecting a little bit because I wonder, you know, we say all of our homies hate Brad Beal, fans are tearing his head off, call him PTO man. Have we been too hard on Bradley Beal?
PTO man? Wait a minute.
You haven't heard PTO man?
No, I have not.
Oh, you haven't seen the memes?
AI
they've
pictures?
Been great.
Oh, that is so funny.
It's all basically right. Him in like a Superman costume with just says PTO across it. It's great. Can I jump in on this one?
Please, gentlemen? Yes, yes, yes.
I think to a certain extent, yes, there's people who have dragged Bradley Beal through the mud, because you also have to remember at the end of the day, he didn't choose to sign this $50 million plus per year contract with the Phoenix Suns. He signed it with the Washington Wizards. He signed up knowing what his future was going to be like for the next foreseeable future with that Washington Wizards team, which was really bad for a number of years.
Yeah.
He was traded for. So there's still expectations when you come into a team and you're paid this amount of money because you're expected to be one of the top, I mean, Lord, at least top 40, 50 players in the league. But yeah. Bradley Beal, in his time with the Phoenix Suns, has absolutely proven that he is not a top 50 player anymore in this league.
No.
And I think a lot of that is because of his inability to stay healthy. But once again, this was something that we knew. This is a foregone conversation that we always have. We looked at his metrics coming to the Phoenix Suns, where he basically plays 50 to 55 games per year. But there's just something, you know, these guys, especially when they've been in the league for so long, they know the way to work the media. They know the way to say the right things. Come on, folks. Look me dead in the eye and tell me that Bradley Beal is ready to give it a go next year. There's absolutely no way. Like, he doesn't want to be here anymore.
He's ready to give it a go next year.
Well, he's ready to just still play basketball. But
yeah.
Because now there's so much vitriol towards Bradley Beal with this fan base. There's no way that people are going to be backing him. It's basically every time he steps onto the court at this point, if he makes a mistake or he seems like he's not hustling properly, it's going to be quick trigger for the boos to come out at him, right?
Yeah.
So I think there is a certain level of going a little bit too hard at him, but at the end of the day, he has not done himself any favors. So you kind of,
right?
What you dig your grave, you got to sleep in it.
Exactly. And it's with being paid that much money and taking up so much of the payroll, it comes with a certain level of expectations. And when you don't live up to that, fans are going to be hard on you. And it's, you know, if he was performing like that, making even $20 million a year, it'd be a lot more palatable. You know, you just put him on the bench and you're fine with it. But you start to ask, you see Chris Paul has played every regular season game for the Spurs. And moving off of him, the concern was his health and his inability to be available, especially in the playoffs. And now, I mean, the Spurs aren't making the playoffs, I don't think.
No, they're not.
And Wemby went down, which was a big part of that, because they were making a push to get into the play-in. Had Wemby not gone down, they might have pulled it off. Stephon Castle, I think it is. That's an exciting young player to watch. I think the Spurs are going to be fun to watch. But I don't want to get on sidetracked while we're still talking about Bradley Beal. Tallman, did you know that there are only two players in the NBA right now that have a no-trade clause in their contract? Bradley Beal.
LeBron James.
And LeBron James.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I don't...
You can't... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, please. No, go ahead. I just don't understand why the Wizards gave him that, and two, why...
Well, he negotiated it, and you can't, of course. You can't sit there and say he didn't earn it. He obviously did. And then, he did.
Debatable.
Hey, he did. When he played in Washington,
what did he do?
Where did he
get the Wizards to the fucking early exit, not even in the playoffs?
Well, there's a reason why we went hunting for him from the Wizards, right? He was a good player. Let me say was. But you can't blame Beal. I mean, he negotiated that no trade clause. The Suns traded for it for him, knowing damn well that was there, right? So you made this bed. Like, the Suns are sleeping in it right now, unfortunately. But and it just backfired big time because, I mean, we already said it. The dude just can't stay healthy. The best ability is availability.
Time and time again, to quote
Calais Campbell in his Arizona Cardinals press conference a couple days ago. So it's, I don't know, man. But so if you guys have been watching listening to 98.7 Burns and Gambo, did you see Gambo came out and he was hot, and he said there is no way that Bradley Beal's on this team next year.
0% chance.
He said 0% chance that Bradley Beal's on this team next year. So, but how do you achieve that?
That's what I'm saying. Right? There's a nightmare scenario where he doesn't agree to a buyout. We can't find a trade partner.
You can't
what do you
wave
do?
And stretch, or because he's got to accept less money. if you were him, would you accept less money? No, of course not. No. Like, what do you mean? You're going to get paid that.
But if you accept the money, you get a buyout, and then you can go sign a contract with another team. But it's like, what is his market value at this point? Probably pretty low.
It's pretty low.
I don't know. He could still make upwards of $20 million a year.
Probably.
But you got to think, if you're him, though, I mean, imagine. Look at the amount of hate that he's getting. I mean, even, what was it, 2 months ago, maybe even longer ago than that, remember his wife and kids were in the stands and they're getting berated by fans.
Yeah, that's never okay.
No, that's completely disgusting behavior. But like, imagine where it's at now, where it's like the amount of hate that he's getting from this fan base. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to stay?
Yeah,
you know,
that's very
true. Like you got benched. You got benched in early January. Why would you want to stay with this team?
But
I mean, you have them handcuffed. Yeah. Like, obviously, they can't do anything. Like, you're holding them hostage.
Yeah.
Obviously, they held us. He held the Suns hostage because he didn't allow us to get.
Yeah, he didn't have very much flexibility at the deadline to want to be going. Well,
Why would you want to stay? Is
well, and he doesn't do himself any favors. Like, he is obviously he's media trained. He's kind of saying the right things now. But there was a quote not that long ago. I think it's a real quote that where he said like he's doing great. He's making a lot of money. He has a no trade clause. He's chilling basically. And people are like, oh yeah, you really love that no trade clause, huh? Fucking every Suns fan in the ass along the way. But Mike, it looks like you got something.
Well, no. And did you also hear the now infamous quote from the beginning of the season about what his goals were for the year?
Take as much time off and get paid as possible. No, what was it?
It was close to that. It was to just have fun.
Oh, my God.
That was
God.
His number. That was his only goal that he said to the media.
Do you think he
season.
Had fun?
Probably.
I think he had a lot of fun making $52 million or whatever the hell. I think I would, especially when I don't have to play half the season.
You get courtside seats every night. Street clothes deal.
So, but
we don't have to beat him up.
But here's the one thing that I kind of take into question, because now we're talking about how do you get Bradley Beal out of here, right? There's the reports that if they do a max contract buyout, right, there's a couple teams that might be interested: the Heat, Nuggets, Spurs, and Warriors. I mean, those are a few that are up and coming to being title contenders and title contenders right now, mm-hmm. right? So there's still a market for Bradley Beal at the end of the day.
Yeah, and then it's the question. So I'll ask you a question: who is most likely to be on the Suns next season, Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal?
Kevin Durant.
You think so?
I don't think either is likely. I think Durant is more likely than Beal, though.
At this point. I'd say
Bradley Beal.
Asked that question maybe a month and a half ago when the trade deadline was going on. I would have said Bradley Beal,
no questions asked. Because the Suns were trying to trade. But,
yeah, I feel like that's so hard. I think still I'm in the camp with Tallman of honestly staying Bradley Beal because of this no trade clause. But, you know, I think the other point that I wanted to bring up about the fact that I think Bradley Beal honestly wouldn't care if he stayed in the Valley is because he's not even looking at it in the metrics of like success on the basketball floor anymore. It seems like it's just, is this a comfortable place for my family to live? I probably have this beautiful mansion in Paradise Valley.
Oh, easily.
It's not very far to get to California or, you know, do whatever wherever you want to go. You have a whole bunch of time off in the off season. And the guy is very, very, he lives in mediocrity as far as team success. How many times did the Washington Wizards go to the playoffs
Twice, maybe? With John Wall?
They were mediocre to a bottom feeder, especially the last years that he was in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You think that I don't know if he truly cares if his team is being successful or not.
He just wants to have fun. I mean, his
number one goal this year. He didn't even put a carrot to be like, let's do better than last year. We finished with the sixth seed, almost got 50 wins. Let's get a top four finish. Let's have home field. Home I always say home field. It doesn't matter what
you
sport.
Got baseball
it's always
line.
Home
yeah.
field. You know, you have home court advantage for at least one playoff series. And we stay as healthy as we possibly can, have good camaraderie going down the end of the season and see what we can do, because I have faith in this club.
Yeah.
I just want to have fun. Come on, bro. Just
optically, there's way better things that he could have said.
It's a child's game.
I don't think anyone had
I get
fun
it.
Yeah. this season.
But, yeah, if you're media trained, I think that's a crazy a crazy, crazy kind of concept to come out for before a season after how spectacularly you fluttered out in getting demolished by the Minnesota Timberwolves last year.
Because
you got to come back with more like pound in the sand. This is what it is this year. We're going to get it done.
More urgency too, especially like with the expectations. And he missed a lot of time last year too. Like, we can't forget that. Yeah. Beal missed a ton, like right out the gate, he missed a ton of time. I could go on about Beal for days, but I do want to get some other conversations in here. Of course, like you kind of posed the question of who do you think is more likely to be here next year, Durant or Beal? You guys are probably right. It's probably more likely that Beal, just because there's so much more difficulty in moving off of him. There are still a lot of teams that are also interested in Kevin Durant, and that's something that we could get something in return for. Mike, I don't know if you had seen this yet, but I've heard that the Knicks are very interested in Kevin Durant. And that could mean Carl Anthony Towns or the return of Mikal Bridges. Yeah. I think I'd love the return of Mikal. I really would. But I think people bring up a really good point that if you bring in Carl Anthony Towns, him and Booker are really good friends. Mm-hmm. He's a true center who can board and he can shoot. He can shoot from the perimeter. Yep. And that could be just what we need. And honestly, as much as I do love Durant, and we did kind of get him towards the tail end of his career, still a lethal shooter, but seems to not necessarily be checked out, but lack the intensity at times. There's no denying that stats-wise, Booker does not play as well when Kevin Durant's on the court. He shoots less, gets less points. Now, his assist numbers go up a little bit, but I guess I'm kind of all over the place with this, but I'm going to start at the front end of what I was talking about is, would you be interested in bringing Carl Anthony Towns in to move off Durant or Mikal Bridges?
Guys, I'm 1,000% in on Carl Anthony Towns coming to the Valley. I'm more interested in Carl Anthony Towns coming to the Valley than Mikal Bridges coming.
Honestly,
back.
Same. Yeah. Like, hate to say it.
We know what we get from Mikal, you know, in the spurts of his time outside of Phoenix, he showed that he can be one of the better players in this league, obviously, when he's asked to be the guy, but he's not going to have to be the guy. Do the contracts make sense to bring in somebody who is maybe third, fourth best player on your team after all is said and done with trades or whatever else you can bring back in? But my favorite thing about it, Chris, is Devin Booker becomes the absolutely solidified number one option every single time this team steps onto the floor, where that's been our, I feel like at this point, gentlemen, because we always say hindsight is 2020, but that's been our biggest mistake with the tandem of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, is always going to KD first because of his elite scoring. Devin Booker can match him to a certain extent. Obviously, KD is a different freak of nature when it comes to scoring, and he can create his own shot. But 37-year-old comparative to a guy that we've seen hit multiple game winners for this team, I think you should have been focusing on the face of your franchise and making sure that he always understood that he was the number one priority, bringing in Kevin Durant. And that was just never, it never seemed like it was properly like educated to them. Like, it was always just like, whatever Book and KD you guys want to do, like, yeah, we'll make it work. And then I'm sure at that point, Devin kind of slid off to the side because KD is big brother at that point. You're right. Always going to take a back seat.
Yeah.
But having Devin Booker become the number one option, no questions about it, is what has to be done this offseason, I feel like. And I think that's why it goes back to the question that we were talking about, who, if from the two are still on this team, I'm almost leaning to the point where it's like, I kind of want Kevin Durant to be gone next year, because I need to get Devin Booker back to the superstar that he is and can be.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. I do think that it is a good time to move off of KD. And I don't disagree with you there, that I think we should move off of him. His value's only going to go down from here as he gets into his 38th, 39th year of life. And, you know, doesn't have a lot of time left in this league. So you gotta get something back for him while you have him under contract, while you can. I will say, though, that there is a growing sentiment, and I think a lot of people just have maybe a trauma response to it. Maybe that might be not the right thing to say, but where they remember the days of Devin Booker scoring 35, 40, 45 points and the Suns losing. So,
I mean, that happened this year too.
It's true.
Especially once KD got hurt.
Yeah.
So,
but I guess that's also like a criticism of Booker as well. Is like, yeah, he can, and like the infamous 70-point game where we lost to Boston in that game. And, you know, so Devin Booker can really put in buckets and score a lot of points, but he's doing it in losses a lot of times. And now I'm willing to chalk that up to just roster construction at the time, because that was obviously before Chris Paul came and, you know, Ayton, and we really got things going. Because that year before Chris Paul, would that have been like 2018, 2017, 2018, when it was DA and Booker before we got Chris Paul? Like,
that was the bubble year.
The bubble year, yeah.
2020.
Yeah. Things, yeah, 2020, yeah.
20, it stretched into 2021.
Right? Yeah, and things were bad, man. Like, things were bad, but I guess Tallman...
No. That year was good. When we made the bubble...
Didn't make the playoffs.
Because we had progressed from where we were winning 17...
last time we didn't make the playoffs.
When we were winning 17 games for 3 to 4 seasons straight, so we were only, like, what, 8 games under 500?
Yeah.
But Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre... Aaron Baines, like those guys started to change the culture alongside a book at that point. But yeah, I see what you're saying. And it's good that you play devil's advocate, Chris, because that also brings up kind of a response to it. Is I'm 1,000% aligned with you, is where it comes down to is roster construction.
Yeah, I'm willing to talk.
You
got to
build some guys who want to play some fucking defense every once in a while.
That's been the
you
got to
get a big, an actual big back in here. I like Nick Richards. Nick Richards is a 10th or 11th guy off the bench for any other team in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's where this team has to improve. Instead of just saying, I don't know how you're going to guard all of us, let's guard some other people first.
Yeah, we actually have to guard people also. Yeah.
How we can put the ball in the basket ourselves, you know? And that's why, as these next couple of months go along... It's always interesting after a down season, what's going to happen in front offices, roster construction, you know, all the different hoopla that goes along with a bad season, especially a season where a lot of people are kind of pinpointing it as maybe the worst season in franchise history in regards to the expectations that were set for this team and how far from the actual meeting of those expectations this team did this year and put us in flux for possibly the next couple of years, depending on what decisions they make this offseason. So, you know, we're going to see new GM, new head coach again. What does that mean? Is Booker going to be a little bit more involved in player personnel choices, especially if they go to him and Matt Ishbia kind of puts his arm around him and says, you're our guy. Help us get to where you think we can go. It's going to be a lot of changes in the Valley again, man.
Hopefully a new president and CEO that's not the son of Bradley Beal's agent. That shit fucking annoys the fuck out of me. But, Tallman, I want you to chime in here. Are you, you know, if the roster's constructed right, are you concerned about a slide back where Booker's putting up a lot of points and we're still losing? Or do you think if the team is built well around him and we do get a Karl Anthony Towns and maybe a few other guys on defense that he will put up those numbers and we'll see them translate to victories?
I don't know. I mean, I was concerned this year about Booker's performance because, I mean, the dude cannot hit a three to save his life. Yeah. I mean,
he took a step back this year.
His shooting, and he acknowledged it too. He said his shooting has been off this year. So it's concerning. That still doesn't make me think that he cannot be a superstar. Like, he can, obviously. Like, I still have that belief in him. But, dude, I just don't... Where they're at right now, I don't see how Ishbia is going to pull off not being forced to do a rebuild, because we know that he does not want to do a rebuild, right? I mean, we know how impatient he is and how aggressive he is. Like, I can't imagine this team doing a rebuild. So the other time, I can't imagine how are they going to pull off that trade for Cat. I don't know. I'm not worried about Booker though. I mean, you still see it all the time where it's like, Are they going to trade Booker and Durant, which is crazy. Devin Booker is not getting traded. I think we can all agree on that. He's not going anywhere. He's got that Kobe type of approach where he's going to play for one franchise for his entire career. But
Well, there was a time when Kobe wanted off the Lakers, and he almost came to the Phoenix Suns in a trade. But they reconciled nice. And they worked it out. No, yeah. But I hear what you're saying. Like, when you have a franchise player, face of the valley, very marketable, that says he wants to be here his entire career, and he also can perform well and score points, you want to try and keep him happy and keep him here, as long as it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably going to be the case. But, I mean, it's hard to even try to even guess what this team's going to be like next year. Because I think Durant's gone. I think Beal's gone. I think Coach Bud's gone. I mean, come on, dude. Like,
that's the hardest pill to swallow for me, though, because that's going to be the fourth coach in 4 years.
Yeah, but at the same time, look at it. They kicked out Frank Vogel. They won 49 games and made it into the playoffs. And you're going to sit here and go, oh, no, it's not Coach Bud's fault, even though we won 35 games and missed the play-in. I mean, if it's not working, if he's not your guy, you got to make that decision, even though it's going to look bad. Oh, they've fired their coach every single season for the last 4 seasons. But if it's not right, it's not right. Do it. Who cares about, you know, the whatever it's going to look like for the organization? Like, if it's not going to work, you got to make a change, and you can't be worried about that bad image for the organization. Like, and then we're going to pay another coach to not coach. Like, it's crazy.
And that's, you know, if Ishbia wants to do that, that's fine. It's not like the coach goes towards the salary cap. It's just,
you got to tear it all down.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying. And I think James Jones probably needs to.
Okay. I don't necessarily disagree. And Mike, maybe you can help me out here, but who else is out there that's available that could be our head coach other than Mike Malone? I mean,
I hope not.
I don't think you can bring a guy like that in.
Who's the other name that a lot of people are like, ooh, I'd love to kick the tires on him. The guy who was fired from the Grizzlies.
Oh, I... Nick something? No.
Somebody look it up. Tell him to look it up.
My phone's playing the D-backs game.
I mean, obviously, at the end of every season, there's going to be some guys who get the bullet and are no longer head coaches. But, yeah, I mean... Since we've done this song and dance the past 3 years, it's like I feel like we've gone through the carousel of every name that could be possible.
Yeah.
And yeah, now you have less of options. I hate it, but I kind of align with Tolman. Yeah, if it's not going to work and guys aren't listening to the preachings of Mike Budenholzer and the leadership is lacking, like, you can't just run it back because he's making $10 million a year and you're worried about that.
Yeah, it's worse than it was last year.
Especially if you're trying to reset the system, for lack of, you know, better terms or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think the one big one that I think we swung and missed on, which could have changed our stars, I would say, was Tyronn Lue. But he's obviously going to be in the Los Angeles for a very, very long time. But
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see this summer.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, to you go from starting the season 8-1 or 8-1 to where
I got you.
Where we are right now is just unbelievable, man.
Yeah, we were riding high.
Unbelievable.
So optimistic. Such a great start. And then it just makes you wonder, like, what happened?
What could have been?
Yeah, and what could have been?
Durant
got
hurt, and that just, like...
Oh, that's right. That's the whole...
That just fucked.
Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed?
That's going to be the whole
thing.
And
then Nurkic got all butthurt, and...
Yeah, Nurkic started... Not only did he get butthurt, but he sucked.
He had a couple... The dude got 20 rebounds in the game.
No, he got 34 rebounds in a game, or 31,
yeah, that's
or
right.
something.
Yeah, he got 31 in one of the games, and he got 20 in a
Suns franchise record.
Was that this year?
Oh, no, that was last year. That was last year,
Was it last year? Okay.
It was like March of last year.
But they lost that game.
Yeah, again.
No, it's just, it's unbelievable, man. I mean, you're the most expensive team by a lot, and you don't even make the play-in.
But, like, what, we traded him to the Hornets, and have you heard Yusuf Nurkic's name anywhere since we traded him?
No.
He's a role player at best. But I get what they need. They needed a center. That was the best return they could muster up for DeAndre Ayton.
That was a bad trade.
It was. And I know...
Bad trade.
I know, obviously, again, we got to keep... That's just the story of the Suns, the hindsight, you know, being 2020, and it's like, was it really, did it really, obviously, and Bradley Beal even said as much in his press conference, like, we don't see what goes on in the team, in the locker room, in the practices. We don't know a lot of, like, the chemistry stuff in there. And I think that probably was a big factor because Ayton was butthurt. I don't know how CP3 felt. CP3 sounded like he was surprised to find out he was traded. He acted like he didn't have any clue. But I guess that what I'm trying to say is, like, we're going to look back and say, was it the right thing to do to blow it up and not have them try and reconcile? And a team that was in the finals, adding, then you added Kevin Durant the year after that. And yeah, it didn't work out. But yeah. I feel like
they should have ran that back.
I feel like they should have sat them all down, sent them on a retreat or something, sing Kumbaya, get Ayton on board, say, hey, man. I'm sure so many people have tried to get to Ayton and be like, you are a big physical athlete. You have superstar potential. You just need to lock in and fucking you will go far. And it just seems like it never resonated.
We would have still had Kamara too.
Timani Kamara, who's been a great addition.
Imagine that team.
It wasn't all doom and gloom. I mean, like, Ryan Dunn was kind of a breakout this year and he was a rookie, so he's only going to get better. Obviously, the Mason Plumlee experiment didn't work. I was really excited about that. But we'll have Nick Richards, who, like Mike, you said, he's a good, you know, second string center, 10th guy on the bench or whatever. But I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm optimistic, but I'm...
Don't be optimistic.
Maybe excited isn't even the right word. I'm curious.
How could you be optimistic?
There it is.
Curious. What's going to happen this offseason. I'm very interested.
Next week,
Phoenix Suns.
Next week, our coach gets fired. I'll put it in right now.
It's tough. I don't think you're wrong, though.
He's getting fired next week.
I think, like Mike said, there needs to be sweeping changes. They need to clear house and do a full hard reset.
Step back, too.
He really does.
He really needs to step back.
Yeah, because James Jones, you don't really hear much from James Jones anymore. It seems like he's not even making decisions.
Ever.
Because he's not.
He's just the gopher, the, you know, whatever Ishbia tells him to do.
He's a figurehead, man. He doesn't do anything. He's just filling that. He's sitting in a chair. I'm the GM.
Well, maybe make him the head coach.
Here, I will say this because it's going to give me more anxiety to keep talking about the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys listen back to Pass the Outlet this week. We'll have an entire introspective on what really happened with this Phoenix Suns team this year. And I promise we talked about some positives as well because it doesn't always have to be completely negative even when our teams suck, man.
Yep.
We're going to do that.
Obviously, we're going to the low lights are glaring and we're going to highlight them. But
there'll be a lot of them.
Yeah. No, for sure. No, but Mike, I think, you know, that's a good point to segue right now and move on to another topic because you're right. We are going to talk Suns and there's going to be plenty of time in the offseason, especially as moves start being made. And again, very interested to see what happens. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. And like I mentioned, we're going to do our pre-draft stream and we're going to talk plenty of Cardinals then. But right now, there was some news that came out, I think Thursday or Friday of this last week. And that was that Patrick Peterson is choosing to retire a Cardinal. He'll be coming into town this week to sign all the paperwork. So he's not going to play this year, right? No, he's just going to retire.
He did not play last season. So
he did.
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
He didn't?
No.
He did not.
Oh, I thought he was on the Steelers last year.
No, was that the year before?
Damn, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly.
Because James Conner literally pushed him into retirement.
You hate to see it. You hate to see it. But as far as him retiring as a Cardinal, Tallman, how do you feel about that? I know you got the signed jersey, and you're ready to display that loud and proud again?
Yeah. No, it's cool, man. You can't hate it. I mean, I know... What's funny was he was teasing, Peterson was teasing, I don't know if it was Twitter, all these athletes use Twitter, I don't get it, but he was teasing, he's like, Arizona Cardinals, I'll see you next week, and everyone's like, for what? Like, what the hell is he gonna play again? Like, I mean, everyone knew that he was gonna sign that one-day contract, retire as a Cardinal, but no, I mean, I think it's cool. I mean, what, we drafted him first round, was it 7th overall? I mean, he was great for this team. I mean,
I thought he was top 5 pick. He might have been number 5.
You sure?
We're going to find out right now. I'll never
forget that, though, Tallman. I don't know if you remember, but we were at your house in high school.
Mad.
We were pissed. we were pissed.
We said, Patrick Peterson? What?
Do you remember who we wanted them to draft? Because we needed a quarterback.
Oh, Locker.
I thought it was Ryan Mallett.
Oh, it was Ryan Mallett.
It was Ryan Mallett. Right?
It was Ryan Mallett, yeah. God damn it. He ended up going like to the Patriots. What was it, like 10th or 11th?
I got it right.
It was 5th?
5th?
5th overall.
It was 5th.
2011 right. NFL draft.
I don't know why I said 7th.
So that would have definitely been a reach on Ryan Mallett. And we see who had the more successful career.
Absolutely.
Granted, different positions, but...
No, he was great. I mean, him as a rookie, as a punt returner, the guy, I mean, what he scored... He had 4 punt returns,
3 or 4
touchdown.
Like
I mean,
four.
Oof. Yeah, he set a record for the franchise. I mean, he was great. I mean, he was obviously the core of the team. He was a fan favorite. He was a captain. So I'm about it. But yeah, I'm ready to. So I've had it displayed. It's not like I had it.
you didn't lock it away.
The signed Peterson jersey. It's still in my office. But I think it's about time that it comes out and it gets framed and up on the wall.
Are we going to see it in the stream background? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm thinking so. Even though the jersey's from China. So, sorry, guys.
It's signed. That's all that matters.
It's signed, but it's... Yeah, I know. When
it's tariff-free.
And he's not saying like it's just from China. It's like the knockoff that they take out the back door of the factory. Yeah.
And I know when he went to go sign it, he's probably like, this fucking fake piece of shit. But no, it's... No, I think it's a great move because I know that his separation from the Cardinals was not the best. You hear a lot of things about him having a lot of issues with Steve Keim and his drinking.
Well, I have a lot of issues with Steve Keim, too.
Still do.
Yeah, so do the police. God damn it.
Chandler PD, we love him.
So I think it's... No, it's good. It's good for him coming back and doing this. And at first, I was like, is he going to play? Because he's only like 36. Like, he could play.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Yeah,
I thought the same thing.
35, 36.
Because that was some rumblings earlier in the offseason is that he might come back to the Cardinals to play.
Clays came back. He's 30.
Clays is older than Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great move by the organization, and I'm all about it. I like it.
I mean, obviously, I just want to chime in real quick before Mike shares his thoughts, but it's just a completely different proposition for a cornerback because once you lose your speed, you're useless virtually. And he, unfortunately, we saw it happen with, Darrell Revis, where he was one of the greatest cornerbacks, and once he lost his speed, he was getting cooked every play, and Revis Island was no more. And it's just, cornerbacks have a shelf life, for sure, and it's not as long as defensive lines.
Well, he was playing when he was on the Steelers. He was playing safety. He wasn't even playing quarterback.
Damn, I didn't realize that. It shows you how much I keep up with the Steelers these days.
Well, that was also 2 years ago.
Yeah, that franchise is a mess. But yeah. Mike, are you excited about Patrick Peterson retiring a Cardinal?
All right, hold on. Before I give my answer, let's take a little introspective look at Patrick Peterson, the player that was on the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay, 10 seasons, 154 games. He played in every single game.
As a Cardinal?
Yes.
You're lying, really?
Every single game, 16 games, except for the year when he was suspended for his PEDs, where he did play the full 10 games that season. But 28 interceptions, 12 fumble recoveries. Tallman already touched it. The 4 punt returns as a rookie. He had a career-high 7 interceptions in his second season.
Wow.
I mean, he starts off his career 8 straight Pro Bowls. 3-time All-Pro. Patrick Peterson is one of the best cornerbacks to ever play for the Arizona Cardinals. I think you put him second to Aneas Williams at this point.
So how long before he finds himself in the Ring of Honor?
Oh, very soon.
Very soon.
Very soon.
At this point, especially with what's happened.
Deserved.
I don't know if you guys know this about me specifically. I've known you guys for a very, very long time. But I honestly don't.
I just met you yesterday.
Shut the hell up. I honestly don't hold grudges for very long, right? I understand that people make mistakes. Everybody can learn and grow from that kind of stuff. The way that Patrick Peterson left this organization in flames with the relationship, it stung me and it made me feel a certain type of way about him for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
To the point where I never changed my narrative of negativity towards him to a positive because he was gone. He was elsewhere and he stopped making the comments. So I just didn't really think about him.
Right.
So hearing the news about him coming back to the Valley to sign this 1-day contract to retire an Arizona Cardinal made me really sit down and think about how do I feel about Patrick Peterson nowadays, right? I'm aligned with you guys. This is the absolute right move at the end of the day for this organization, especially big props to a guy who doesn't get a lot because we are very critical of him, Michael Bidwell. Understanding that the situation and the negativity that came from that relationship truly stemmed from Steve Keim, yep, and the way that he danced around his contract negotiations for a guy who, the way that we maneuvered with Buda Baker after he asked for his trade and them coming back and understanding that he is truly a core piece and getting him extended, we couldn't do the same thing for Patrick Peterson. And it was because of Steve Keim's ineptitude at the end of the day.
Right.
I still am, I'm not favorable about the way that it kind of seemed to lump in the fan base sometimes, where he might not have ever really like singled out the fan base. But when you start dragging your franchise, your team that you love through it, the connotations go along with it at the end of the day. So sometimes, yeah, it felt like Patrick Peterson hated us when all we did was adore the ever-living shit out of him,
yeah,
because of how incredible he was. And I forgave him for that fumble, the punt return fumble against the Carolina Panthers in the NFC Championship game.
That takes a lot. When we were, takes a lot.
When we were starting to turn the course of that game, yeah, and try and get back into it. I forgave him for that.
That wasn't the difference.
That it game, wasn't the difference.
That game was just atrocious.
Carson Palmer's five picks were
different. Yeah, that's it.
But it did take all the wind out of the sails.
So at the end of the day, I'm very happy that everybody grew up. Right? It's basically what we wanted DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul and Monty Williams to do. It took years, but everybody grew up and understood. It's almost like sometimes you have to separate the art from the artist and understand that Patrick Peterson is one of the best to ever wear Arizona Cardinals uniform. And he's deservedly so getting retired in a Cardinals uniform, will be in the Ring of Honor shortly. Honestly, could be this next season. And maybe one day he finds himself in Canton and he'll be in an Arizona Cardinals uniform. And that's how we want to make sure that we remember somebody like Patrick Peterson for the incredible work and artistry that he performed on the football field for a decade in the, yeah, Valley. So props, man. Welcome home, man.
Yeah, no, Canton might be a stretch, Mike.
Are you sure?
they let pretty much anyone in these
days. Yeah, right. The door is wide open. No, what's Ring of Honor for sure. What's crazy is, do you guys ever think Calais is going to make it
to the
Ring of Honor at this point? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy that he's playing this. Oh,
he was on our Super Bowl team.
Yeah, he's
true.
Isn't that
wow.
crazy?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, he is 38 something years old. Yeah. Like, he's
and he played
past his prime.
Yeah, he played for the Cardinals for 8 years before he left. It's crazy that he's back. I love
yeah.
it. Also, Corbin Burns sucks.
The D-backs in general are just struggling. Oh, and I think we have enough time to get into that. And I think I'll let you guys say any last thing you need to about Patrick Peterson. But I will just go back to what Mike was saying. I do agree that it was largely between Patrick Peterson and the front office and ownership. And the fans got stuck in the crossfire. And Patrick Peterson's a guy who's online. And he probably saw a lot of, you know, vitriol being thrown his way from fans that obviously didn't understand the full story. And I'm sure he took that hard. And then, you know, so it kind of, you know, went both ways. But I'm glad to see that they're mending the relationship. And I think that speaks volumes of this new regime. Obviously, I don't know how much Monty Austin Fort and John Gannon, they don't really have much to play in this. But the Bidwell being a key factor of that, obviously, and Patrick willing to put aside whatever bad feelings he had towards Bidwell. And I think it means that, you know, not to say that Patrick never felt any kind of way about the fans, but just like we're willing to forgive him, he's willing to forgive us for any ill feelings going out the door.
Oh, we were mean to
him. Bro, we've on the same on this podcast, all yeah. of us have said fuck Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, we were yeah. mean. I think I even might have joked I was going to burn the jersey that he signed.
Well, but
I didn't
do
it, obviously.
Yeah, you did.
But now do you understand?
But I joked about it.
But you guys understand why, like, it took me a couple of days after hearing the news to really, like, formulate my true feelings about it. Because
yeah.
there was still a lot of that negativity that was holding on to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cool.
It is cool. Yeah. I'm interested to see.
He was a great player.
I'm interested to see now that he's doing this, how much involvement he's going to have in the organization. Because obviously, I think he loves Arizona. I'm pretty sure he probably lives because he loves golfing. And anyone who loves golfing, Arizona is the best place to be. I mean, we were at the Diamondbacks game last night, and we bumped into a group on their bachelor trip from like Calgary, Canada, and they said they chose Arizona for the golf. They had golfed that day. They had golfed the day before. They went to the D-backs game. Random game between the Brewers and the D-backs. And then they were like, we're going to golf the next day too.
The one kid was like, oh, Phoenix is my favorite city I've ever visited. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Like, that's crazy.
It's like, how many other cities have you visited? Are you sure this is your favorite?
You got to get out.
Because there's a lot better. There's a lot better out there, bud.
No, but
it's crazy. He dead ass said that.
I love this state. I love the valley. Shit, man. We were just watching after the Masters coverage stopped. It was like the Arizona Highways Channel.
Tombstone.
Nobody knows what Arizona Highways Channel is, Chris. Come on.
Are you sure?
I don't even know what the fuck.
It's not
that
a channel.
Is,
it was on like CBS.
You never got the magazine?
No, that's a magazine?
Yeah, it gotta be.
It was a big magazine.
Okay, but maybe I'm just uneducated.
But my point is,
apologize.
I'm getting a little sidetracked, but my point is Arizona's great because people forget how big of a state it is. We get trapped in this bubble of the valley, but you can go up north and be in the high altitude, in the cool weather, in the snow, snowboard. Oh, yeah. You can go down south, get some really good food. I don't know what else there is to do in U of A.
Down south.
Yeah, you can get robbed. Or
Tombstone is down south.
Tombstone is also down south. You got Sedona, beautiful, picturesque.
Yeah.
The golf is great. Scottsdale is bougie. You got Old Town. I mean, there's just so much to do in this state. I don't know if you guys ever been to like Karchner Caverns or any of the caves we have in Arizona.
No.
That's a good time, man.
Oh, you haven't done that? You've lived here your whole life?
Yeah, I've been to Antelope Canyon.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool, too.
Page.
Yeah, the Grand Canyon. I've only been to the Grand Canyon once in my entire life. Lived here for 31 years. I've only been to the Grand Canyon. You've never been to the Grand Canyon, huh?
Damn, yeah. I didn't want to out myself like that.
It's not just a big hole in the ground. Honestly, the pictures don't do it justice.
I've been to Horseshoe Bend, though. That kind of counts.
I guess.
No, it does not count, guys. It really doesn't count.
Anyway, I love my state. I'm happy to have Patrick Peterson back. But while we still have a little bit of time, I know Tallman's got a very important dinner to get to. So
no one ever said it was important. I never said that.
But let's talk about our Arizona Diamondbacks. Cause like you mentioned, we went to the blowout last night. I think it was 7-0 was the final score. We're watching the game on Tallman's phone here. It's a good 2-0 going into the bottom of the third.
You can't screen record.
At the bottom of the third or the bottom of the second?
Jesus Christ.
I thought it was second.
Bottom of the second.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk about, of course, you know, I think you can, with the bats, it's a different story. Like, it can take a little bit of time for bats to get warm. Guys are streaky. And Eugenio Suarez looked like he was going to hit 70 home runs to start the season, and now he's cooled off dramatically. The pitching, though, is my biggest concern. And last year, it was the bullpen. This year, the starting pitching has been dog shit, guys. A week ago, we were, like, fourth worst in the league. At the very beginning, we talked about Gallon's bumpy start. The guy we're paying a shitload of money and who wanted to be here, Corbin Burns, has been, quite frankly, terrible. Eduardo Rodriguez pitched last night. He got blown up.
I wouldn't go that far. It's terrible, but I got you. Go.
He's been as far as the money and the expectations, he's been terrible. Now, obviously, the same with Brad Beal. You pay guy a lot of money. Guy's a superstar arm. He has a lot of expectations, and he hasn't lived up to those expectations. Zach Gallen, the guy who was our ace last year, the guy who Torrey Lovello chose to be our opening day starter over Corbin Burns, failed communication from the jump. Merrill Kelly, the guy I was most concerned about, has been honestly the best looking guy out there. What do you think, Tallman? Like, is it? I think you're in the camp of not pushing the panic button. I know that,
you can't, dude. Come on, there's 150 games left.
This is going to be
ebbs and flows.
You're going to hear me.
I got it. I get what you're saying. Because
then it's going to be, oh, there's still 140 games. Oh, there's still 130 games. Oh, there's still 120 games. At what point?
And then at this, what's funny is at this point with this division, dude, we missed last season by the playoffs by one game. Fuck that. This season, every game matters because the Giants, Padres, and the Dodgers all already have 10 wins. You're in fourth place in our division already. Granted, it's way too early to scoreboard watch, but like, guys, like, we're going to need 92, 93, 94 wins to even get that last wild card spot the way it's going. Thank God the Braves have just been absolute shit so far. Hopefully they're getting Acuna back, they're getting Strider back, so maybe they'll turn it around, but I mean, they're 3-10 right now. I don't know if they won today, but like that's somebody that we don't have to compete with for that wild card spot. But it's, I mean, if the season ended today, we don't have a wild card spot. Like that's how good our division is. But the pitching has been disturbing because coming in, I mean, if you go back and watch the preview, the MLB preview that we did, the stream, it was like this team is built for starting pitching. Like this is a pitching team. That's how we're going to win games, right? And to have a starting pitching ERA in the sixes has been awful. And then even then, our pitching in the first inning of games has been over 11. It's been 11, over 11.
Yeah, always do. Bad. Always take the no to no run first inning when the Diamondbacks are playing.
That reminds me, I made a bet earlier where I did that, and I didn't check if I won. I think I lost because I was just on FanDuel earlier, and I didn't get paid. but no, the pitching has been, it's been shaky. Corbin Burnes, I mean, we're seeing it right now. He's pitching again today on Saturday against the Brewers, and we're down 2-0 in the bottom of the second. So it's... But it's I think it is way too early though, but the inconsistency is what's most troubling to me. Where it's Burnes has yet to put together like a solid outing. Gallen was terrible on opening day. Then he was great. He was absolutely lights out, dude. No one could touch him in New York, and then he follows it up with a terrible outing. Merrill Kelly, the same. He gets bombed. Dude, he had the worst start of his career in New York.
Kelly did?
Yeah. He had like a 9-something ERA. He got absolutely bombed on in New York. And then he comes out and he throws a gem. Mm-hmm. Brandon Pfaadt, the same. Inconsistent. But in that day game on Thursday, he was incredible against the Orioles. So it's so funny, though, because we had all these worries about the bullpen. Yeah. Our bullpen's been great. And you know what's funny is we're going to get Ginkle back because Ginkle hasn't, obviously he started the season on the injured list. You're also going to get that the Graveman guy too.
Kendall Graveman, yeah.
Yeah, so we have two pitchers already coming back to what I think is a very deep and very talented bullpen. And that's been the bright spot of this team, honestly, has been the bullpen.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. You nailed it. And Mike, it just feels like a little bit of deja vu when we talk about the starting pitching rotation. And last year we were like, wow, on paper, this is incredible. Same with this. Wow. We added Corbin Burnes on top of everybody else we already have. And then this is our start.
Well, yeah. And we shouldn't be surprised by the slow start. Cause what happened last year, gentlemen, weren't we
slow start.
6-7 games under 500 at one point to start?
Yeah, it was, I think halfway through May we were, 15-20. Yeah, we were five games under 500. Yeah.
Well, and so this is our starting rotation ERA. Think about it. Everybody's been through the rotation three times. Starts, right? Corbin, this is his third
third, yeah.
So this probably isn't updated for him, but
first time pitching at home too.
5.79 ERA for Corbin Burnes. Merrill Kelly 7.2. Zach Gallen 5.28. Erod 4.86, and your team leader is Brandon Pfaadt, 3.50, who's been, I mean, inconsistent, but still the most great. Consistent yeah. to start this
yeah,
season.
I mean,
through
three
turns.
Is for a starting pitcher. Three is
in this day and age.
That's
yeah.
where you want to be yeah. is in the threes.
So that's why I think you almost got to go through like six times, right? Get me through six starts, then you can start to see maybe a trend, right? Mm-hmm. Because what would you say for first couple ones, maybe one-off occasions, it might
bad
not
matchup.
Be what it were, what you're really going to get the entire yeah. time. When you start to get 6, 7, 8 times, this could be what you are for the season. Because then it gets harder to wrangle it in off of, you know, more and more teams seeing your pitching and the tape being out there on you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you guys. The starting pitching, haven't loved it to start, but also the slow bats again. Like coming off of a season where you score the most runs in the majors to a bunch of guys hitting like low 100s to start a season. I know it's, once again, you got to get to 30, 40 games to start thinking about those
things. Yeah, because to know what the team really is.
Right, but
Gino's in the hundreds, Gurriel's in the hundreds.
Gino's 146, and with that last at-bat, he's even lower now.
146, yeah. Gurriel, obviously, 163.
We know where
McCarthy is. McCarthy has, like, two hits in 129 yeah. at-bat. Or yeah. not 100, like 29 at-bat.
069 for McCarthy. Garrett Hampson, who keeps getting the fill-in days, 091.
How's Timmy Tala so far? Only a couple weeks under the belt, or a week under the belt. 182. That's bad.
Yeah, I mean, so there's some guys who are raking to a certain extent.
The Cattell injury is just been,
that doesn't help.
It's that's
yeah. I do want to talk about my twin Cattell Marte.
But hold on. I think what I go back to, you said Erod kind of got roughed up on Friday, April 11th here,
right?
The game we just went to.
Yeah,
I think given 6 1/3. 3 earned runs is exactly what you need to do for what was proposed to us as this high-profile, powered offensive unit. For them to have 3 hits through 7 innings,
that's yeah.
against freaking 36-year-old who pitched last night.
Oh, Quintana, Jose Quintana.
Come on, folks, who hasn't been with the team at all this year.
It was his first start of the year. Hasn't been, yeah.
Inside information is telling us that he's at the spring training facility getting treatments, and then he comes out.
Not even in Milwaukee.
And doesn't, and has 64 pitches thrown through 6 innings. Like, you're not doing your team any favors. And that's the biggest thing about the start for this Diamondbacks
team. And then he just keeps fucking doing it.
I'm still fucking doing it.
It's the inconsistencies in every facet right now, right? Gino goes off. Now he's hitting 160. The amount of errors that this team continues to put themselves in holes through, then you're not getting any run support for when your guys are doing their job at the end of the day, because you can't throw a 13 strikeout, 0 earned run, 7 inning gem every time you go out there. It's just not how things work in the majors. So as this team works through the kinks to start this season early, my biggest thing at this point is we have to stay healthier than we did last year. And that's where I'll pass it to you with Cattell. That's a tough start. And I think that's kind of put us where we are at 500 ball.
Yeah, I mean, the Cattell, man.
Coming off an MVP candidate.
You lost your heartbeat.
Great start. So great. He had a great start to the year, too.
And he just got the extension, too. It was... And I was watching that game. I don't know if you guys watched it live, where, I mean, he pulled up. So he smashed a ball in a DC off the wall. It was easy triple. The outfielder did not play it good. So, and Cattell knew that. So he was putting the gas on. And you could tell, like, he just came up gimping.
He tweaked it.
Yeah, you could tell. He tried to kick it into high gear, and then it just... Something just pulled on him,
yep.
And he was mad, dude. He walked off the field, and he passed the third baseline. He chucked his helmet on the ground, and then a couple minutes later, they showed him in the dugout. He was smashing shit around. He was pissed off. So that
I love
tells
the heart.
You,
love the
yeah,
heart.
That tells you right there where he knows that he's out for a handful of weeks, and he's upset. So, and I love the heart, too. But, like, that's, I mean, fuck. The defensive part of it, too, Cattell is solid. Like, and you talked about some of the errors where there was a couple games ago. I mean, our Garrett Hampson, I'm not going to blame him for all of our issues right now. Obviously, he's a bench player for a reason.
He's
right?
not a guy we knew we were going to need to rely
so
on.
So you don't expect him to come in and light it up, but like even defensively, it's like you miss a little bit of that at second base because there's a game where he bobbled an easy double play ball, and that ended up, he bobbled it so he could only get the out at first, and that allowed another run to score, and that ended up being the difference of the game. So like little stuff like that where it's like, damn, that really hurt. Not even factoring in his offensive presence, I could tell Marte has, and he's the leader of this team. So, I mean, that's just killer. You know what's funny, though? I did make a bet on that game where I had Cattell getting two total bases in the same game parlay on the game that he got hurt.
And he got it?
Yeah, well, yeah. So the second pitch of the game, he hits it off the wall, gets hurt, gets a double, and I'm like, okay, it's all right, Cattell.
Oh my God.
I still, you priorities. Still,
yeah, this is this fucking guy.
You still got the leg. I still got. I lost the bet.
Though, okay, probably. So
I didn't win.
Karma.
So, but still,
this fucking guy. Yeah, I mean, it's a devastating loss, but it could have been a lot worse. I'll say that. So we will get Cattell back in the next couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, I think, is kind of the timeline right now. Nobody really knows. It's probably a day-to-day proposition.
Torrey didn't put a complete bookend on it, but sounds like probably end of April, early May.
Yeah, they said several weeks, right?
Yeah, several weeks, yeah.
So that's fine. I mean, I especially this early in the season, you want them to be, you know, not optimistic, cautious with it. You want them to play it safe in a regard. And it's not desperation time where it's like, hey, man, I know you're not 100%, but you need to get out there. And I'm sure nobody wants to play. I'm sure nobody wants Cattell to play more than Cattell wants to play. You know, he wants to be out there with these guys and contributing and helping them out. And he's probably hating to see this 7-0 loss and now 2-0 down in the very beginning of the game. But I do want to talk about a bright spot that we've seen, and it's Corbin Carroll. Because me and Tallman were actually discussing this at the game
last
night.
Out.
Through into July, Corbin had only had, I think, 2 home runs on the entire season. And he had, I think, 22 on the year last year, 22 or 23.
He got his 5th home run last season on July 13th.
5th. Okay, so 25. So 20 of his home runs came after July. So he's already off to a hot start, and he already has
5.
5 yeah. already, and it's
2 weeks
in the middle
of
April.
Season.
And a lot of that has to do, as I understand it, with his batting stance. He had a very, kind of cocked back bat over the shoulder, yep. and now people are comparing it to like the Ohtani stance where the bat's out in front, his arms are up, and he's making good contact. So I know people were really concerned about, because I even saw a crazy image on I think it was on X where it showed like month by month Corbin's his bat slowly came up, and like now he's in a spot where like he's hitting it comfortably. And I was about to say, like, a lot of people were critical of Corbin having this batting coach who was tweaking his approach, and people were like, you know, stop fucking with Corbin's swing, just let him be Corbin like he was in 2023. But I think now it's paying off. Clearly he's doing something right.
Yeah, because you remember last season, you already mentioned it, how cold he was to start the season,
right.
And it all came out where Jock Peterson was like, hey dude, I got this guy that I work with, like, you should talk to him. And he ended up doing that, and Corbin even came out and he gave credit to Peterson for like helping him fix his shit out, where how he turned around his season last year. But then, so he already fixed his swing and his stance last season. But then you heard this off season he fixed it or changed it again. It's like, okay, well, like, you seem like you're pretty hot at the end of last season. Like, but it's working out, and it's and you can't watch a D-backs game without the commentators saying something about his batting stance. It's like every single game I've watched, they always talk about his batting stance, which, well, he's on fire, man.
Yeah, and if you see some of those videos from, you know, when he was dropping that bat, all of his swings were so vertical, right? So now he's getting that launch to the ball, which 10 of his 17 hits so far this year are extra base hits. So he's utilizing his power. But guys, I don't know, man. When we went to the game and we sat down on the first base side in that third row, it's something special to see guys of that caliber even just play the field and see how effortlessly they make things seem.
Yeah.
Even when it's like kind of a roper and he's just there right on the dot, and just, man, he's a craftsman. He's truly the epitome of somebody who, what did they used to call him? The five-tool player, right? A guy who can really do everything. And for him to get the hot start this year, I think, is imperative, because he is becoming one of the absolute leaders of this baseball team, obviously. So sometimes you got to lead by example. And with the offense struggling as it is, he needs to continue to get on base, manufacture runs, get creative on the base paths, and, you know, score a bunch of runs for this team this year for them to be successful. And it's been a great start for him.
Yeah, you mentioned the base. I wish that they would send him more. Like, he hasn't been stealing any bases, but obviously that contract, that eight years, right?
No,
I thought it was
10 years.
I thought it was
110
million. 110? Yeah. Okay, maybe it was.
Really good value.
Oh, dude, it's
incredible.
Oh, he's outplayed it by a mile, but
he might regret signing that at some
point. Yeah, but it's like at this point right now, like Carroll's been one of the best players in the entire league to start the season, and if he keeps up this pace, like he could be in the MVP run.
Well, that was going to say in 2023, which I think was his 30-30 year.
He was like
surefire rookie of the year, but it was like he's in like the top five in the conversation.
Oh, he's killing it
for MVP even, which
speak of the devil. He's up the bat.
And he has one of our two hits so far in this game already. I love the kid. I mean, but I was going to say, Tom and Quick, name all five tools.
Oh, shit. Hitting, fielding, running, speed.
Throwing? I don't know him, honestly. I was just putting you on the
throwing
spot.
Throwing and looking good
doing it. Yeah. Swagger.
Smoking the reefer.
What?
Wait. Well, no, wait,
whoa, we don't do
one,
that.
That's not one of the
whoa,
five.
That's, what?
That's hold not on, the fifth hold on, tool.
From left field there.
Yeah. Fielding, throwing, hitting, running.
Catching?
Gotta be.
God damn it.
Mike,
that's,
look it up.
That's fielding.
I'm a basketball guy.
Fielding, I guess that is fielding.
That's
is
why catching. I don't know all of them.
Power?
Because Mike knows what a two-way player is in basketball.
Because, yeah, he's a two-way guy.
Hitting for average, hitting for power, speed, arm strength, and fielding.
Oh, so two of them are hitting.
Hitting for average.
Double hits.
Okay.
Double hits.
All right.
That makes sense.
Why'd you put me on the spot like that?
Because I was curious. I was hoping you would actually know.
No, I did not know that.
But I know as we kind of round this out, again, I know we're a little short on time. This is going to be a little shorter one than normal. I do want to kind of talk about some more bright spots. Obviously, Corbin Carroll is a bright spot, but so is Josh Naylor. Josh Naylor's been pretty good. Paven Smith has even been decent. And the big concern was the loss of Christian Walker and even Jock Peterson, but those guys aren't doing very good to start on their new teams. Christian Walker's batting in the hundreds. I'm pretty sure Jock Peterson is also batting in the hundreds. Christian Walker only has one home run for the Astros through their first 15 games or whatever it is. So honestly, I think we're at a pretty good spot as far as that goes. Are you missing either of those guys right now?
I think I'll always miss Christian Walker to a certain extent.
His defense I
miss Peterson.
There's been a couple times where Naylor was too short or too low or too slow.
I mean, the big one that jumps out at me was his flip to Corbin Burns in New York, which gave up those two runs, which basically kind of
that was such
ended
a bad
up being
play.
The reason why we lost that game. But no, I think Josh Naylor has done everything that he can with some would say possibly his limitations in the field. He's been great from the plate. He'll have to continue to, you know, find some more. Oh, come on.
Who the fuck was that? Was that Corbin?
It was Hampson, I think.
Oh, good Lord. All right, anyway.
I'm squeaking all over the place. Sorry, Mike.
No, you're fine.
I don't think it's picking up on the mic.
He'll have to continue to find his rhythm with, you know, his different pitchers that he plays with every time. Because, you know, guys have to figure out when to flip, when to take, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But it's been a great start for him as well. Christian Walker was just one of those guys. You always have a soft spot for him because he was one of the main reasons that team made the 2023 World Series run, even though his playoffs were shaky, to say the least, obviously.
He was awful. He was but ice cold.
Three-time Gold Glover with this team.
Yeah.
He's just always will be. I don't know if we put him in Valley Legend status, but it might be a tier underneath. It's somebody that I'll always remember fondly as his time with the Diamondbacks. So whenever you lose guys like that, it'll be tough. But losing Jock right now, he has no home runs, no RBIs. Like he is
really where did
really
he go
bad.
Again?
Texas,
the Rangers.
The Rangers, yeah.
Okay.
So
that picked up
what Paven's been doing in his limited time frame, because obviously with the split with Randall Grichuk, been solid. I think he's hitting like .367 or
something like
that.
Yeah, he's doing good.
Great start for him too.
Doing really good.
Yeah, I like. Are we calling him the Red Rocket? Is that
well? If not, let's do it.
We should. I like it.
No, it's
Andy Dalton 2.0.
Yeah,
I got a craving for Paven.
Oh yeah,
that's what.
Well, because we were talking about if we had before we made the Naylor trade, we were talking about Paven potentially being our first baseman. But I do just back to Christian Walker. I will agree that like I think Diamondbacks fans are going to look back and truly appreciate how we got so many years of Paul Goldschmidt and then instantly got Christian Walker playing great after that, to where we've really been spoiled with our first baseman historically. And so Josh Naylor has big shoes to fill, but he came here as a star, an all-star from his time with Cleveland and wherever he was before that. But obviously not the same defensive player as both the America's first baseman and Christian Walker double whopper.
There you go.
Walker, triple wait. Walker.
Nailer, I barely know.
God damn it.
Come on, man. Why would you say, why would you tell me to do such a dirty thing?
Send us all right.
I Chris. Think this is a good time to wrap things up. I've had a lot of fun with you guys doing this. I love the in-person podcast. It's such a unique experience. We're working on expanding our equipment so we can have more guests in person. I think there's only ever been, I think only your brother was the only other person had on the heat check.
Mike was preoccupied.
Yeah, how dare you travel? And I'm glad it worked out that we had you on, because we probably would have had a fill-in had you been in Europe around this time. But we worked it out. We're going to be back. We do this once a month in person. We put out the video on our YouTube channel. Of course, if you're listening or watching this far into the video, you're a real one. You're a true fan. You already know these things, so I will spare you. But I do want to give the floor to these guys one last time to share any thoughts, man. Doesn't even have to be about sports. You want to go first, Mike, or you want to give it to Tallman?
Yeah, can I start first?
Yeah, go for it.
Because our man is going to be in Europe. Tallman, I hope you have a hell of a time
across the pond. Thank you so much.
I don't even know what accent that was.
Wait, say it again.
Across the pond.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
My name is Michael Benjamin. Oh, wait, that was
you guys. My challenge to you is see if you can get a British person to give you their American accent.
Hey.
Okay.
Impersonation.
That's good.
Yeah. You want me to take a video of that?
If they'll let you, yeah.
Okay. All right. Last thing I'll say is
Valley Sports Plug is in full gear this summer. It's going to be a fun ride. So appreciate everybody. Appreciate you too. Thank you guys.
Love it, Mike. That was beautiful. As always.
Heartfelt.
Every single time you get my juices flowing. What's our next D-backs game?
Something in May. It's gonna be May.
Wait, we're gonna get copyright for that.
Oh shit. Yeah, you're right. Careful. Well, it's far enough in the video.
Don't worry about it. He meant mayo, mayonnaise.
They got the bots. Tom's gonna buy me the Will Levis mayo cologne.
That's right. I did say that last time.
We'll do a
I was gonna cologne say review incoming.
I was gonna say sample taste test, but I might.
No, you don't want to eat it. Mike,
I might go to the hospital if I try and ingest that.
You cannot eat that.
Not recommended.
Wait, hold on. Screw going to the game. When's the 999 challenge?
Beginning of Mike has it on the calendar. It's
May 3rd.
It's a Friday.
I got it.
It's a Friday. I think we're playing the... Are we playing the Brewers again?
It's going to be Saturday, May 3rd.
No, we're playing the Phillies.
Oh, we did decide on Saturday?
Yeah, we're playing Saturday, May 3rd.
Okay. Oh, because it's a day game, right?
Starts at like 3.
It's a night game, but it's on the East
Coast. That's right. Are you going to take the day off or take like a half day?
I'll probably leave early and then we'll get things set up, because I think we're going to stream it, right?
Yeah, we're going to stream it. We got to stream it. We're going to be chilling and grilling and drinking Coors Lights. There's no way I'm doing IPAs for the 999.
I was so tempted yesterday to do the 999.
Bro.
Because I was hungry.
I'm honestly so excited. Thirsty. I'm so excited for the 999, Josh. That's 3 weeks. That's like in 3 weeks from today.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So do your preparation.
Yeah, that's like 3 days after I get back.
He's going to be jet lagged trying to do the
right.
I'll be fine by then. Okay. I'm sure.
That 19-hour flight, you'll have plenty of time to...
It's not 19.
Whatever.
Like 13.
Anyway, Tallman, is that all you got?
So, this is fun, guys. A lot of fun. Still pissed I'm going to miss the draft. But
that's all right.
I know you guys are going to hold it down. Give us that good Cardinals draft insight on Tuesday before the draft. So, yeah, I'll try to tune in. I think it's
the time delay might.
Yeah,
be a
it's I dude. It's gonna be like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, just enjoy yourself. Don't worry about
us. Probably not going to.
We'll hold the fort down while you're gone.
I'll pretend that I'll say this like, oh yeah, I'm not going.
Well, the good news is, Tallman, all of our live streams are available for playback immediately after they're concluded, so you can watch it any time you want. And
I will play it back while y'all are sleeping.
And not only will it be on YouTube immediately after, but it will also be on all podcast streaming services the very next day. That's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. Make sure you like and subscribe to this video here on YouTube. Follow us at AZ_VSP on Instagram, TikTok, and X. I guess that's all I got, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Really appreciate you guys. Tallman, hope you have fun in Europe. Mike and I hold down the fort. But
gonna have a lot of fun.
For Michael Benjamin and VSP Tallman, I'm Chris Patrick, and we'll see you next time. Peace.